Further crisis may be ahead in Venezuela and why party balloons could spell the end of one of Earth's rapidly diminishing elements. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The stage is set in Venezuela for further crisis. Opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself interim president yesterday, and he has the backing of President Trump and many Latin American nations. President Nicolas Maduro, meanwhile, has given U.S. diplomatic staff a deadline to leave the country. Eileen Gavin, senior Latin America analyst at Verisk Maplecroft, explains how this situation could further deepen Venezuela's economic crisis.
Much will depend on what happens today with Maduro's reaction to yesterday's events. The sensible solution would be a negotiated transition towards elections. And then in the event of a successful transition, Venezuela undoubtedly will need a major bailout by multilaterals, possibly well in excess of the record IMF bailout for IMF agreement with Argentina last year.
But if that common sense doesn't prevail, we'd effectively have two governments, two leaders fighting for control. If we had violence and further intervention, that would certainly make things a lot worse.
The worst case scenario is a situation where two military factions are competing for control. And that could have a very bloody outcome and tip Venezuela into a civil war. In that case, you would see an escalation of the migrant crisis and just a complete economic implosion.
Now, we saw bonds rally as all of this was going on yesterday. So why are investors so positive about Guaido?
That's a good question. I think the assumption is that, you know, whatever opposition government takes power will be U.S. facing, market friendly, will, you know, move to engage with the multilateral community, including the IMF. In fact, the head of the World Bank yesterday or this morning came out and said he was willing to work with Guaido, which was a strong statement. And so there's just an expectation that it would be, you know, a return to Venezuela as investors once knew. But that's not to deny the huge problems in Venezuela. Dismantling all the economic policies put in place by the 20 years of the socialist government is not going to happen overnight.
And that's the Latin American analyst Eileen Gavin. Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia ended the session mostly higher, while European shares are flat ahead of the European Central Bank's rate decision. Now, data from a survey of executives in France and Germany help illustrate the slowdown in Europe. Growth in France's service sector hit a five-year low this month, while Germany's manufacturing sector hit its lowest level since 2013. Now, France's finance minister says Carlos Ghosn has resigned as chief executive and chairman of the carmaker Renault. Mr. Ghosn is under arrest in Tokyo, where he's accused of financial crimes while leading Renault's Japanese partner Nissan. The BBC's Victoria Craig has the details.
The embattled 64-year-old executive denies any wrongdoing, and after his application for bail was denied earlier this week, he could remain in custody for months. But according to reports, Renault's board of directors is ready to move on. It's said to be meeting later today to consider replacing Mr. Ghosn with two people, the boss of tire company Michelin as chairman and Ghosn's deputy as CEO. Speaking to Bloomberg TV at Davos in Switzerland, Bruno Le Maire, the French finance minister, said, quote, "The key now is to move on." He said Renault's board believes both the French and Japanese governments want to see the Renault-Nissan alliance, which Mr. Ghosn built, thrive. Mr. Ghosn has already been dismissed from his positions at Nissan and Mitsubishi. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Now, you probably remember the periodic table from high school chemistry, that grid listing every element from lighter-than-air hydrogen to heavier-than-lead iridium. Well, a curvy, lumpy new version of that table is out this week, showing a visualization of elements according to how much of them are left on Earth. Professor David Cole Hamilton is vice president of the European Chemical Society.
Some of these elements will have less than 100 years before we in a position where it's much more difficult to get hold of them and become much more expensive.
So what's the most abundant element and what's the most scarce one?
Well, the most abundant element is oxygen. The scarcest ones are ones which have been synthesized in the laboratory and don't occur in nature. But of the ones that are in nature, indium is actually not particularly scarce, but it's extremely thinly spread all over the Earth. And it's used in all computer screens and smartphone screens where you have a touch phone. We don't actually mine it anywhere, but it is a byproduct of zinc mining. And if we use it at the rate we continue to use it, the amount in the reserves is only enough for 20 years. If we don't do anything, then the price of your screen will have to go up because we have to take it from even less abundant areas of the world. There are things we can do. I mean, first of all, we should use less by changing our mobile phone less often. In the UK alone, 1 million telephones are exchanged every month.
1 million smartphones?
Yeah, and that means that it's an average of between 2 and 3 years that people hold on to their phones.
What's another example?
Helium, a gas which is very important because it is used to cool the magnets in magnetic resonance images. It's also used in deep sea diving. They mix oxygen with helium and sometimes with nitrogen as well to be able to do deep sea diving. But the thing about helium is it's very, very light and it's very, very stable. So if it gets into the atmosphere, it can go right up to the edge of the Earth and it can be lost into outer space forever. If you have a party balloon, for example, which has helium in it, and it bursts or it goes down in time, that helium is lost forever. And the amount of helium there is at the moment is very low, and the reserves are probably only enough for about 10 years if we don't recycle it. Now, with magnetic resonance imaging and deep sea diving, they do recycle the helium, but with balloons, it goes up and go on forever. Really, we shouldn't be putting helium into party balloons.
Professor David Cole Hamilton. There you go. It's all down to those party balloons. Remember, you can catch our podcast wherever you find yours. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.